Today is the 28th October 2021, Thursday class. So we will be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 451, okay? Just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attention. Then we'll off the light and you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. I will set the alarm. Then you just relax body and mind completely. Maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then stabilize your awareness nature within until you can experience the silent mind. The silent mind, which is without thought, is your true mind. That is the one that can develop wisdom, understanding, awakening. This one can meditate, can observe, can insight the phenomenon to develop the Dhamma understanding, to liberate your mind, to see truth, to see things as they are. So all of meditation centered on developing this ability to be aware of your inner nature, your inner awareness nature, your true mind, your silent mind. Without thought, then your silent mind will manifest. As long as there is thought activity, thinking, or sankhara activity, the true mind cannot arise. You cannot develop awareness within. Because your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either you are completely silent without thought so that you can be attentive and aware within. So that you are sensitive. So that you can observe whatever that arise within your form and mind. Without this ability, you will be creating thought. When you create thought, you will be preoccupied with what you are thinking. So that is heedless thinking. And when thought arise, it will stir your mind. It will cause you to react, to sense experience. Then without the Dhamma, without the wisdom and the understanding, you don't know how to act. So you will act according to memory, your fear, your conditioning, your insecurity, or whatever that you have been conditioned into. So meditation is to develop the ability to have this silence within, to observe, not to think. The more you think, the more problem you will have. That's why without avijja, there is no sankhara. Sankhara arises because of avijja. Avijja paccaya sankhara. So this is heedless thinking. But if you have the wisdom already, then only you can arise the right thought following Noble Eightfold Path. So before the enlightenment, the awakening, and the understanding, chances are living being will always arise the wrong thought due to evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, triggered by Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion. And this is the cause of the karmic mundane thinking and activity of mind. When you are able to meditate to realize that true mind, then you can live life differently. You can live from that awareness nature within, from the understanding that surface. Then you will have the wisdom to understand life, not to be entangled anymore with the karmic law, the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then it can create beautiful conditions for your form and mind to have the good life. So this is basically what you need to understand so that you know how to develop the meditation. So, okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. The seventh merit is inconceivable. Why is it inconceivable? Because with the amazing powers of the six paramitas, Bodhisattva can spread love throughout the world with a mind of great compassion. So that's why this seven merits is inconceivable. And enable everyone to be free from all kinds of suffering. So this is very beautiful. The six perfection of paramitas are dana, giving, then sila, upholding of precepts or morality, then patience or kanti, then the fourth one is diligent virya, then fifth one is samadhi, then finally we have wisdom panya. So these are the six paramitas. They begin with the practice of dana, which creates blessings, and they end up with wisdom. Therefore, to perfect the six paramita is to cultivate both blessings and wisdom. That's why all Buddhas or all great beings, they have this embodiments of virtue and wisdom. We cultivate Dhamma is to develop wisdom. When you have wisdom, you know how to act, you know how to live life, then you can arise virtuous thought, conditioning virtuous action, and virtuous speech. And the way we live our life, all will be in accordance, because we have Dhamma, we have wisdom. So wisdom gives rise to right view, right understanding, the right way to act and to live life. That's how the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path can fall into place. That is what meditation is all about, the teaching. So all of meditation that doesn't lead to the awakening, the wisdom, leading to the understanding of the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So if you really truly understand the essence of the Buddha's teaching, you will come to this understanding. Because why do you meditate? To develop wisdom, to liberate the mind. When you have wisdom, everything go your way. You will have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, right living. Then you will know how to arise for appropriate right effort to improve yourself, to refine upon your whatever wholesomeness, and to perfect yourself. Then after that, you will also have the ability to cultivate the right Dhamma using sati and samadhi. So this Noble Eightfold Path will fall into place. That's how you become enlightened, the enlightened beings. They not only have wisdom, they have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path is basically Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. And that is basically the advice of the Buddha. To avoid all evil, you need Sila. To cultivate wholesomeness, you need the other Noble Eightfold Path factor of right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort. Then finally, purification of mind, you need mindfulness and samadhi. That's why without Noble Eightfold Path, there is no cultivation, there is no awakening and perfection. So all this will be interlinked, interconnected, and you will develop the understanding. So this is very beautiful. So I will repeat this last sentence. Therefore, to perfect the six paramita is to cultivate blessings and wisdom. By cultivating the six perfection, we can train ourselves to open up our hearts and eliminate ignorance from our mind grounds. Ignorance is the most fundamental of all delusion. Once the mind begins to give rise to ignorance, it becomes like a dirty mirror. When a mirror is covered with dust and grime, not only can it no longer reflect external condition, even the mirror itself cannot be seen clearly. Although some people may not fully understand the methods for transforming others and have not yet begun practicing the six parameters of perfection, as long as they vow to deliver all suffering sentient beings, the six parameters will spontaneously manifest and be fully expressed in their behavior. So that shows the importance of that vow or that determination to liberate all sentient beings. If you want to save sentient beings and practice the six parameters, you must first purify our mind to become enlightened, to awaken. The mind is like a mirror. We must constantly wipe the dust and grime off its surface in order for it to clearly reflect external conditions. If our mind can clearly analyze external conditions, then we proceed on our path of spiritual practice. As we proceed on our path of spiritual practice, we will not go astray. So this word analyze, I think, is not that appropriate. We should actually change it. If our mind can clearly observe, not to analyze, observe external condition, then as we proceed on our path of spiritual cultivation or practice, we will not go astray. Therefore, all sutras and discourses of the Buddha, or what we call the teachings of the Buddha, teaches us to take care of our mind. To take care of mind, we must eliminate greed, hatred, and ignorance. Then our mind can be pure. This is known as having the three evil roots converted to the three good roots. The three good roots are the basis for the four infinite mind, means the Brahma Vihara state, and the six perfection. People with roots of goodness can see their external condition clearly and thus avoid giving rise to internal affliction or conflict. So whether internal or external, everything is clear to them. When they face object of temporary temptation, they will not give rise to greed. When they see sentient beings suffer, they naturally feel compassion for them because their hearts are so spacious that they can embrace all. And when they see sentient beings in need, they will naturally give whatever they can. Thus, charitable giving is the first step to cultivate the six perfection. In fact, the Dhamma of the six perfection exists within everyone's bodies and mind. If we can take the Dhamma to heart and actualize it in our action and are creating a foundation of virtue with our pure intention, In fact, the Dhamma, the six perfection, exists within everyone's body and mind. Okay, this one sentence is correct by itself. If we can take the Dhamma to heart and actualize it in our action, we are creating a foundation of virtue with our pure intention. This is true. Since we have formed great vehicle aspiration, means to go the Bodhisattva way, and are walking the Bodhisattva path, we must extend our love to all sentient beings in the world. Thus, we will love all sentient beings and will accept the responsibility of saving and transforming them, helping them to be free of suffering, and helping them to attain happiness. Sentient beings experience two kinds of suffering. The first kind of suffering comes from material poverty, such as being without a home, without food and shelter, without warm clothing, and so on. If we can fulfill the needs of sentient beings who lack this material necessity, this is called the giving of wealth or materialistic giving. The second type of suffering sentient beings face come from spiritual poverty. Some people are materialistic wealthy but have empty and impoverished hearts. That's why Tzuchi volunteer promote teaching the rich to help the poor. We hope to teach the wealthy that in addition to having abundant materialistic wealth, they can also have the great compassion to care for all in the world. When they use their materialistic wealth to help those who are suffering, they also help themselves to become the rich among the rich. Thus, we can transform tangible wealth into intangible treasure of the Dhamma. As long as we give rise to a thought of goodness and decide to help sentient beings, suffering sentient beings, that thought of goodness can then be a seed that replicates itself over and over, bringing immeasurable benefits to the world. Take for instance, some people who have received assistance realize their own blessing after witnessing the depth of other people's suffering. So even though they are still living in poverty, they feel wealthy and are able to save small amount of money to contribute to helping others. This is helping the poor realize their riches. The seed of the desire to benefit others is planted in their heart, inspiring people to help others create a virtuous cycle or circle in this world. This is why we spread love in the world with a mind of great compassion. This mind is referring to our mind consciousness, the mundane mind, or our mind root, one of the six sense roots. The sensory organ of the mind corresponds to the sense object of thoughts. When we encounter certain condition and our sensory organ connect with it and are influenced by the sense object around us, do we give rise to thought of greed or thought of great love? This depends on the working of the mind roots, is your understanding, your cultivation. If you don't have the understanding and the cultivation, your mind will stir and will react and create karmic negativity that will give rise to wrong thought and make you miserable, afflicted. Therefore, we must learn to unite our hearts, harmonize our mind, and bring everyone's good intention together. Then we can spread the seed of love into the mind of other people everywhere, so that every seed can grow and flourish into a forest of Bodhi trees. In this way, we can enable everyone to be free from all sufferings. all kinds of suffering. Then won't the world truly be a pure land? As we live on this planet, it sometimes feels as if we are facing a world without feelings. But is this world really as we assume? If we could realize the truth, we would see the grass, the trees, the rock, and mineral, each having a life of their own, and all possesses a wondrous potential to benefit us. They are all part of the natural world and are all subject to nature's laws. This understanding is very important. Each and every one of us, all things, they are subject to nature's law. Every blade of grass, grass, and every trees are in a state of constant, subtle, and imperceptible change. Humans are also in this state of constant change. That's why I like to use the word in a state of flux, moving, changing. Think about it. At what age does a baby grow up? At what point do we become a youth, an adult, an elder? On what exact day did we stop being a child and become a youth? And what exact second did we become elderly? Our bodies are changing constantly from birth to adulthood to old age. Every moment, every minute, every second, every instant, we are constantly and continuously evolving or changing. The principle behind the constant change in the world is known as the aggregates of action. If we understand it, then when we deal with the sudden changes in worldly matter, we will be able to accept them as a natural part of the impermanence of life, where this is a universal characteristic. Therefore, as we learn the Buddha's way, we must be mindful and meticulous. This is the only way to understand the Dhamma pervades everything, even the vast void of the universe. Even within emptiness, there is wondrous existence or truth. Learning the Buddha's way, we must maintain a tranquil and calm state for proper contemplation. So this tranquil and calm state is your true mind, your silent mind. We must not be lax or lazy, even for a moment. Since we have vowed to walk the Cixi's road, this is for Cixi members and volunteers, we should not be afraid of going among people, where it is through our interaction with others that we are able to experience and comprehend many principles. So this is partly to let cultivator understand that life itself is our training ground. We have to cultivate in the midst of life. Okay, we will continue with the next adapted verse. Bodhisattvas make the great vows and engage in spiritual practice because they cannot bear to forsake sentient beings. So this is very true. Why do we make great vows and engage in spiritual practice? Because we have this love and compassion to liberate all beings. So we cannot bear to forsake sentient beings. They turn delusional thinking into a clear awakening and practice what the Buddha taught. They transform sentient beings. They have karmic affinity with so many. They transform sentient beings. They have karmic affinity with grief so that they can accept the true Dhamma, hoping only that sentient beings will follow the great Bodhi path to enlightenment. So this particular adapted verse is very beautiful. You can have the understanding. Walking the Bodhisattva path requires making great vows. So this one we know. That's why we have our four basic vows of the great Bodhisattva. Then we have our own other additional vows and also other miscellaneous vows which we adopt as we develop the cultivation and understanding. How long will these vows last? So this one has been discussed before. As long as the vow remains, you will continue to cultivate. Because cultivation is unending. The vow is an eternal vow. Although the universe has its boundaries or bounds, the number of sentient beings is boundless. So our vow must also be without limitation. See, they explain it in a similar way. Modern science has proven that the universe has boundaries, but sentient beings are countless and limitless. They continue to arise ceaselessly. Since we have developed bodhicitta and cannot bear to forsake sentient beings, our mind must be even more spacious than the universe. Our mind must encompass the universe and embrace all the world within it. We must make the great vow to transform countless sentient beings. This is only possible when we have realized our true nature, our oneness nature. Then we will return to the oneness, which is the source. Then we can understand all creation. As we chant the verse preceding the Surangama mantra, if even one sentient being has not attained enlightenment, I will not seek Nirvana. Even if one sentient being has not yet been transformed, we will continue to return to the world to help transform that one person's delusional thinking into clear awakening. So this phrase, the way they express it, is very good. How to transform a person's delusional thinking into a clear awakening. All this is what wisdom is all about. When you have cultivated the wisdom, awakening and the understanding, then you can help people with delusional thinking to awaken. So delusional thinking can be transformed into clear awakening only by wisdom, by understanding. Sentient beings who lack virtuous friend to awaken them. This one is very important. So if you are born into this world as a sentient being, but you lack virtuous friend, means cultivate all the way to awaken you, may easily get lost, and their mind may become filled with ignorance. This is very true. That's why you need to have spiritual friends, kayamitas, virtuous friends, cultivators of the way to be your kayamitas. Since we have vowed to save sentient beings, we must exercise love and patience to help all who are lost in to transform their deluded mind and guide them towards the path of Bodhi or enlightenment. This is how we can turn delusional thinking into clear awakening and practice what the Buddha has taught us. So basically it's to develop the right view, the right understanding of nature's law, leading to the understanding of life. Then we can live life with that wisdom and understanding so that we can become transformed living beings with beautiful personality, with beautiful virtue and conducts. To do this work, you need to awaken, to have the wisdom. Otherwise, this work cannot be done. That's why bodhisattvas are enlightened beings who walk the path of Dhamma to perfect themselves. And as they perfect themselves, they undergo the cultivation of the four basic vow. And that vow is the one that perpetual their coming back and cultivation, their ability to strive on with heedfulness, to continuously improve themselves, cultivate and perfect themselves. So this understanding is very important. Thus we transform sentient beings. We have karmic affinity with. That's why everything depends on karmic affinity. If there's karmic affinity, then a lot of things is possible. But if there's no karmic affinity, no condition, it's very difficult. That's why we don't force ourselves, we don't intentionally want to help. That is delusional. But if you understand condition, you see the causes and condition, the coming affinity, then you will know how to manifest and do your part. Now that is Dhamma. That's why you have following the Dhamma way, not through the thought that wants to do good. That one is delusional. So this part is very important. I read again. Thus we transform sentient beings who have coming affinity with us so that they can accept the true Dhamma. We often talk about turning the wheel of life or Dhamma wheel. This means to mindfully use different skillful means or methods to guide sentient beings and help them open up their mind, comprehend the Buddha's teaching, and practice according to what he taught. Because we are still sentient beings, we must continue to seek the Buddha Dhamma while at the same time transforming other people. Actually, basically, to do this work is not easy. Later on, when most of the Kayamita has developed the cultivation and the understanding and the perfection, then as you do this work, you will come to understand what I mean. It's not easy. We're human beings or sentient beings. They are so many of them. And everyone is so different. The causes and conditions behind is so different. Their karmic background, their way of thinking, their personality, their character, their karmic past, all this have a bearing on them, and they come in so many different varieties and time. That's why in cultivating this way, you will encounter the mind-right sentient beings with very, very different karmic conditions. And because of that, it's not easy. Then most of these sentient beings, because they didn't have the Dhamma, they are not cultivated all the way. They had this delusional thinking, ignorant, craving, desire, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, haunting them, causing them so much suffering, misery and affliction. Then like what the Buddha has taught us, the Four Noble Truths, these are truths that can make you noble ones. That's why it's called Noble Truth. and noble ones are enlightened beings. That's why the Four Noble Truths are the essential Dhamma of the Buddha. When you understand the Four Noble Truths, you understand life, you understand the secret of life, you understand all the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's how you become different. And unless you have this cultivation, this awakening, this wisdom and transformation, you cannot do this work. You cannot help sentient beings. Because sentient beings are very unique and very strange. Because of their different type of karmic background, karmic conditioning and exposure. When they are afflicted, they suffer differently. And some, the karmic debt is so heavy, so like loaded, it is not easy for them to endure and to understand what is going on. So unless there is affinity, chances are they will not listen to you. They will not be able to have the karmic affinity to come out of all this. So they have to go through the nature's law of karma. They have to experience all this, the karmic friction or karmic repercussion that arises because of their past action and the past delusion. So if you were to go into life later on, as you share and you teach, you will come to understand all this. Then you can see living beings, they are full of ignorant delusion. They are full of affliction, suffering and misery. And all this can be so varied, so like different. That's why it's not easy. Yeah. Then sometimes you want to like manifest and help, but there is no condition. So what do? You just let things be. Let condition unfold. Unless there is condition, do not be deluded by the thought that wants to do good, that wants to help. Of course, some people can say, hey, you vow to liberate him. Yes, we have the vow. But you cannot force your way into things when there is no condition. They can't even listen. They can't even understand what you say. That's why this karmic thing, you have to understand what karmic obstruction is. Karmic obstruction can be so severe, so intense, that it will obstruct that form of mind, that sentient being, from receiving truth, from receiving help, from having the understanding. So understanding karmic affliction, karmic obstruction, and the way of karma is very important. That's why as a cultivator, as a bodhisattva, we must develop perfection of wisdom, extensive wisdom and understanding. Otherwise, you cannot do this work. Otherwise, there is no way you can help the mind rights of sentient beings. It's impossible. So understanding all this is very important. That's why man nature, when it comes, he understands. If there is no condition, just let things be. Then if they really want to understand, we just share whether they can understand or cannot understand, follow or don't follow. It's up to them because that is their life. They decide. So most of the time, I will just share what they have to do. And the sharing is very beautiful because Everything can be resolved when you have this understanding. There are three things that sentient beings need to do. First is to ask for forgiveness or repentance to break the karmic obstruction, to bring about causes and conditions for good roots or virtuous karmic affinity to arise. So unless you ask for forgiveness sincerely and you do it with understanding, this karmic obstruction will be there to obstruct you from receiving help, from understanding the Dhamma, from even having the condition to receive help, to understand what is going on, to have the clarity of mind. So karmic obstruction is a major thing. Then after you have this understanding, to ask for forgiveness and to do the repentance, then you move on with the second condition to help you turn around. The second condition is to vow not to repeat all this karmic negativity where you know it's wrong. So to sincerely repent means you must vow from now on you will not do all this anymore by following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil by keeping the precept to cultivate virtue, wholesomeness, by cultivating noble eightfold path, the Buddha Dharma. Then finally, is to purify the mind, to develop wisdom, the right understanding, the right view, so that we can understand life, so that we will not get ourselves entangled with life. Then when you start to follow the advice of the Buddha to do good or evil and cultivate, you actually follow the Dhamma way. You develop a lot of merit, virtue, wisdom, and understanding. That's why after a certain period of cultivation, following the advice of the Buddha, you can go the third stage of transformation or third condition to help you turn around. The third condition is to evoke power of merits born of what you have developed and cultivated. For causes and conditions to enable you to free your mind, avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise and enlightened one. Then you can make aspiration to have great affinity with great beings, cultivators of the way, to have the more friends. Then you can also invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for turnaround, for you to recover to good mind state so that you can continue with your cultivation, so that you can have the good mind, the healthy body, and conducive condition for you to continue your cultivation. And sometimes you can also modify the third condition for causes and conditions to help others turn around, especially your loved ones, your close relative, acquaintance and friend, those that have affinity with you. You can make aspiration in a modified way by invoking power of merits. And this one is very powerful. So you do these three things. Ask for forgiveness and develop repentance. And vow not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha, then you cultivate wisdom, virtue, merits. And through this, your life will improve naturally. Because this is nature's law, law of karma. You want to improve your life? Follow the advice of the Buddha. Sabbapapasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan. Sacitta pariyota panang itang buddhana sasana. So When you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoiding all evil, cultivate virtue, goodness, wholesomeness, then meditate to purify your mind, you naturally transform yourself character-wise, personality-wise. You become a more responsible and beautiful sentient beings. Then you will have all the virtue, the love, the karmic wholesomeness, no more karmic negativity. Then that wisdom and the right view that arise can free your mind, can allow you to have more and more wholesomeness, thereby enabling your cultivation to be very, very beautiful, and you will progress. Then after that, the third possibility can arise. Invoke power of merits. Well, by cultivating this way, following the advice of the Buddha, you cultivate merits, virtue, wisdom, perfection. And this can be very powerful, very wholesome. And when you invoke power of merits based on understanding, it can give rise to causes and conditions for things to happen, things that are possible or allowable by nature's law. That's how your life can turn around, can improve, and things can happen beautifully. Sometimes people don't understand, they thought it's miracle. It's nothing to do with miracle. It's through understanding all this Dhamma, nature's law that governs life and existence, then you can make aspiration to turn around. And I, this life, my nature has helped many people, many, many people to turn around and develop all this understanding. Okay, we go back to the sharing a little bit more. We can finish it off. The Buddha Dharma is vast and boundless. This one is a very profound statement. In fact, Buddha Dharma means all of truth, all of the Buddha's teaching. Definitely is very vast and boundless because it's about life, about existence, about understanding everything. That's why the Buddha Dharma is vast and boundless. All things, sentient or non-sentient, contains the wondrous Dhamma of true suchness. Now this word true suchness, tatata, is a very beautiful word. That's why it's called the wondrous Dhamma of true suchness. Suchness means seeing things as they are. Everything is such, means you cannot argue. That's why it's the isness of thing, the reality, what is. That is true suchness. Everything is such. That's why when you understand suchness, you understand them. So the Buddha called it the wondrous Dhamma of true suchness. When you understand suchness, you have penetrated the Dhamma, you have awakened. Just like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. Nature is, truth is. There is no duality. Duality only exists within the conditioned world. The ultimate truth is suchness. Understanding, condition like that, things be like that, cannot be otherwise. Everything that goes on in life, in existence, follow this nature's law, the nature's movement. That's why we have evolution. We have phenomenal. We have living beings, we have sentient beings, we have planets, we have world system, we have Dhamma, nature's law, everything. And all this can only be understood if you have the cultivation, the perfection of cultivating the Dhamma, means perfection of wisdom. And ultimately is understanding true suchness. from that understanding, everything arises. Without this understanding, you cannot comprehend what is going on in this universe. That's why here, the whole sentence didn't end there. I read again. All things sentient or non-sentient contain the wondrous Dhamma of true suchness, and the entire universe is the Dhamma Rhyme. That's why nothing is apart from the Dhamma Rhyme or the Dhamma, wondrous Dhamma of true suchness. So we must help sentient beings realize the true Dhamma with the ultimate understanding, the true Dhamma. If people have a good karmic affinity with us, we can guide them effortlessly. This is very true. That's why the criteria is they must have good karmic affinity, either with our nature or with the triple gem. Both are possible, as long as they have karmic affinity with triple gem or with us or our nature. We can guide them effortlessly. Actually, you don't need much effort or much hard work. That's why those with karmic affinity, my nature know, and very fast they understand. Very fast I can share and turn the thing around. But those without affinity is like very difficult. Like there's a Cantonese saying, ngau pei tang long, the lantern is made of buffalo skin. Very difficult to light. Dim le dim hai dim chok means it's difficult to make them understand. Means the delusion is too severe and coming obstruction is too severe. And because of that, it's very difficult to guide them, to share the Dhamma with them. So all this need karmic affinity, either with our nature or with the triple gem. Then they can give rise to joy, accept the teaching, and follow the path of the right Dhamma. This is beautiful. So karmic affinity, affinity with triple gem are very important. In cultivation, if you don't have all this, it's not easy for you to meet up with the Dhamma, for you to meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, avoid the foolish and all those things, and the heedless. Okay, there is the last paragraph. We go through it, then we will stop here. Thus, we continuously draw near to sentient beings, hoping only that they will follow the great Bodhi path to enlightenment. We hope that everyone will have the chance to accept the right Dhamma, develop Bodhi Chitta, and walk the Bodhisattva path. Means they must have the consciousness condition, the affinity, the coming affinity, to understand all this and to receive all this. So this one is not easy. That's why in Dhamma cultivation, you can actually hear a lot of this beautiful sharing from the sutras. Like the Buddha Dharma is very difficult to come by. To be born as a human being is very rare. Even more rare is to have the consciousness condition to receive the true Dhamma. And through all this understanding, you will know why. Not everyone can understand the Dhamma, have the karmic condition and affinity to receive this truth. That's why the work of the Bodhisattva is to continuously with patience continuously come for the sentient being. Then like they say here, hope that everyone finally will have the chance or the coming affinity to accept the right Dhamma, to receive the truth. Then make a vow to develop Bodhicitta, the Bodhi mind, plant the seed of Bodhi to walk this Bodhisattva path so that you can become Sammasambuddha. Okay, we'll stop here. I will mark this page here. Okay, now you open up for meditation reporting.
Bratio?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bratio, I will share what I think the 我最近的一个 experience 哈、
啊，上个，very good。
我 about two weeks ago， 我忽然间觉得我在 daily 里面，我的这个 juggling mind 哦，你很像整个静下来了。
哇，好，上掉。
他上掉，不大会 juggling 了这样的，很奇怪。
Yeah. You will go through that phase. You will go through that phase. That's why the hard work pays off, actually pays off. Yeah, you continue, yes.
Yeah, 以前哦，刚刚我们 cultivate 的时候，你一 aware 那个 judging mind 的时候，你会觉得它很 disturb。所以那时一直 cultivate 的时候，就跟它 be with it 的时候，你会觉得它慢慢的就
对，
会慢慢的 reduce 那个 volume。
对。
但是它还是这么多哦，就每一天还会在边上 judging。好像 background music 这样
initially is like that yes
then 2 weeks ago 我好像突然间我讲周末在 daily 里面没有这种 checking 的那种
you can see the difference the sudden shift because your daily mindfulness has stabilized your wisdom your nisodhamanasakara also has started to stabilize then when all this start to stabilize then you will have more transformation withinthe mundane mind. So the mundane mind, through all this stability of understanding and daily mindfulness, will have more space between thought. That's why it will understand that a lot of things no need to know, no need to analyze, no need to like go and give it a thought or thinking. No need. Because thing is just the way it is, through suchness.And your ability to understand things as they are will enable you to be at peace with more and more things within life, within existence. Then you realize when you have this understanding, stability or understanding and daily mindfulness and transformation, then the mind suddenly shifts and becomes very quiet. Quiet means like there is no more chattering.There is no more dialogue inside there. The habitual thinking, the habitual sankara activity, all this like slowly disappear. Then you realize there is this beautiful change and transformation. Then there will be joy. Of course, you will go through all this joy. Then you have the faith.Because when the joy comes, you know this is the way. Then you know what is path and what is non-path. Then during that time, do not be complacent. Do not take things for granted. Do not think that, oh, finish, work done. Like what they used to say in the sutta, the holy life has been lived. What is to be done has been done. Not so fast. Because when you cultivate all this, the stability...and the understanding and the transformation is not because of what happened to your mind. Your mind can have this experience, transformation is to let you understand, to let you see. That as you cultivate, you will go through all this phase. And sometimes when the test comes, that whole thing is gone. Then you will be tested because you don't understand.Then the memory come in, like what happened to a lot of cultivator. Hey, last time I can, how come now I cannot? This will create doubt. This will create what they call delusion. Because they will go and analyze. They will go and what they call try to, in the name of what they call understanding what happened. So,All this analysis, And we call it the activity of the mundane mind. When you try to analyze and understand to what they call thought. Thought is incapable of understanding all this. Your thought can only create more thinking. So what you need to understand is do not be complacent. Continue with the cultivation. Then let things be. Don't try to know whatever, let it pass. Of course, when you experience all this, you can contemplate, reflect, then you can share, which is very good. Then after that, do not be complacent. Continue to cultivate. Continue to develop the beautiful mind state. But meditation is not about beautiful mind state alone. Yeah, it's about life. It's about existence. It's about every possibility. So as you go through, sometimes the test can come. Sometimes condition different. It will arise different things for you to understand. That's why there are a lot of things that can create the possibility and it can arise and maybe sometimes create condition for cultivator to develop further wisdom, further understanding. But most people who has not developed the stability of it and understanding of it or don't have the right teacher to guide them or the Dhamma affinity from the past, they will be trapped. So when they are trapped, means they fail the test. They fail the test, then they cannot progress further. Then the doubt start, then the thought come back to the back door. They start to think, they start to contemplate, they start to develop the analysis and all those things. No point. What is more important is cultivation is to develop wisdom. Then from the wisdom, you stabilize it to perfect yourself so that you understand it more deeply, more clearly, so that you can actually move on. Then as you move on, you realize the cultivation is unending. Unending doesn't mean that you have to do it all the time. No, there are times where this understanding will stabilize. Then you will know this thing is already stabilized. Then it cannot arise any. Then later on, when condition is different, certain things happen, it comes to test, you will also know. And you will be able to experience them and pass through all these tests. That's why your cultivation will continuously evolve and move by itself. So this phase is very beautiful. That's why my nature sadhu you. So allow it to be, don't be complacent, then continue with your cultivation, then it will evolve further, it will become even more beautiful later on. So this part, take note, you can continue with your sharing.
So about 2个礼拜这样子就哇诶 没有这个juggling mind. And then 当我一 line down 的时候, 哇, 就很容易的 aware.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even the daytime, 我一 silent, 也就, 很容易了.
Yes.
And then 就, then 就在 few days, 哦, 几天前的晚上, 哦, suddenly, 哇, 那个 juggling mind 又来, 那个 monkey mind, 哇, 一直在 check. 但是他, 这一次他来的时候, 他的 volume 很小, 好像你开 radio 它只是你 volume 1这样子，它就在你的 center 那边，在晚上，哇，一直在那边，哇，就那个 habitual tendency 就在那边一直摇，一直摇，一直在那边，一直 check，一直check，然后我一直，哦，然后我就一直看住它，我就哎，哦，我就我没有去管它，我就看，Yeah，
relax into it and let it arise， then see what happens。 Then when you are able to really relax into it, when your wisdom is already there, then you will be able to have that final stabilized wisdom to see things as they are and accept their reality, it means true suchness. Suchness means what? Like the Buddha said, whatever happened, there are causes and conditions behind. So these causes and conditions behind sometimes attack, sometimes for you to understand. So let it be. No need to know. And when you go through all these phases, even whatever happened, when you are able to accept that reality, then you realize everything ceases. Because acceptance is wisdom. Acceptance depletes the mind. When you still think that this is defilement, this chattering mind is not what I want, because I cultivate to develop the true mind, the pure mind, then you will be trapped again. This is what thought is all about, sankhara is all about. Well, these are your views, your opinion, your conditioning. So now it comes in the form of right and wrong. Right and wrong practices, like sensu. So the true understanding is to realize the true mind, the silent mind, stabilize it. So that one, once it's stabilized, then you realize all this avijja paccaya sankhara cannot arise already. Then you will also understand to live life, we need to use this mind. That's why we will still arise that mundane mind. But this is our form and mind. We have a duty. We have our vows. We have the causes and conditions to actually manifest. So all this understanding will follow. And this is the more subtle, or what we call more refined type of understanding leading to the higher practice. This is what bodhisattvas will go through. So this part is very important. Yeah? Don't go and worry about whether it's volume 1 or volume 2. Forget about it. Because like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes. So this is true suchness. Condition like that, things will learn it. It will evolve. Then you only need to understand, to free, you have to accept. Accept means no need to analyze, no need to complain, no need to like think or justify. No need. Everything end. End means what? You are at peace with all conditions. Moreover, they are not what you think. That's why the ultimate understanding is the Diamond Sutras, the four verses. 一切与为法，如梦幻泡影，如露亦如电，应作如是观。 So this one will surface and become very clear. Means everything is conditioned dhamma. Like dreamlike, zumong, illusionary, huan, like a bubble and a shadow. So when you start to see all this and understand all this, you can accept, you can be at peace. So you have to contemplate it such. So this ultimate understanding is very important. That's why later on, all this understanding of the condition dhamma, each year you wave, everything is condition dhamma, become very stable. Then they are dreamlike, zumong, illusionary, one, powing. So you have to contemplate it such. Then there is another one, zulu iludian. That one is very beautiful. Means not only you understand their characteristic, their nature, they are just phenomena. Some longer, some shorter. It's like a morning dew. When the condition is there, the dew will rise. Then when the sun rises, the condition no more to support the dew formation, then it will cease. That's why it's like a morning dew. And it's sometimes very fast, like a lightning flash, gone. Arise, pass away, arise, pass away. All the thought processes are that way. That's why you have to contemplate such, zulu yi lu tian, ying zuo lu si guan. Then you become different. The awakening will be there. So all this Dhamma will surface. And these are the higher practice, more refined practice that you will go to. So listen to all this advice again, this sharing again. And then from there, you will be able to develop the understanding on how to continue with the cultivation and progress further and become more and more stable in your understanding. So always remember, cultivation is about evolving the understanding and the wisdom, not about how come I am still disturbed by this, disturbed by that, my mind still chatter, my mind still... Forget about that. There is all the thought telling you. The thought which is analyzing that attached to perfect cultivation, to good mind state. That's where sense you get trapped. That's why he said, polish until it shines so that no dust alight. So you keep on wanting the perfect state of mind. No. Enlightenment is about wisdom. When you have the wisdom and the awakening connected, you cannot be disturbed by any mind state or any phenomena that arise. That is the natural state of understanding. That's why understanding what? Understanding true suchness. Understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence. Understanding all phenomena. Things is just the way it is. So all this will stabilize. Then you will move on. Mm. So take note of this. Eh? So, Sadhu.
Mm. So, chattering, I think, 很久, huh? More than half an hour, 我都没有去管它, 就是让它一次, then 过后, 第二天, 我在听那个 repeat, 听那个 Dharma talk, 刚好我就听到, 那天拜二, 那个 Pamasuri report 讲那个 你在 explain 那个 ego mind
的 ego mind，我一听那个
explanation 的时候，我跟这个 experience 两个 link
起来的时候，你就很像
like 一个是 the day before 的那个晚上是 experience，the next day 你的 explanation 就是他的那个 explanation 两个 match 起来。
对，哇，很
clear 的，你能够 understand 整个的那个 Dharma， 尤其是这个 mundane mind，哇，它真的是 full of the negativity，来，如果你每次看的那种 Dharma， 完全可以 match 进这个 experience 里面，能够很清楚的知道这个整个的这个 mundane
mind，yeah，yeah，yeah，mundane mind 的 creation， 嗯，对，的过程，yeah，so。
Then 我后来我就听到 do at the end 的时候，哎呀，我里面就讲，哎呀 ，dukkha， 就是讲这个 mundane mind 是 dukkha 来的。我讲是 dukkha， 然后他讲，然后就有个 answer 就 arise， 哇 ，grasping of 这个 five aggregate 就是一个 dukkha 来的。
You become more and more clear in that aspect because the mundane mind is the egoic mind, is the thought before the wisdom arise. This one will create heedless thinking, will create delusion, delusional activity. That's why all this you start to see, like I told Pamasuri, when you are able to see your own egoic mind, that is the beginning of cultivation. At least you see, then you must know, this egoic mind is not you, not real. This one is a conditioned mind state. Before you understand, you will have this behavior. That's why she gave the example of buying something. I forgot online, but buy what I forgot. Oh yeah, baby cucumber. Then they deliver a different thing. So this type of thing affect human being because of the conditioning, because the mundane mind cling and hold. Then it will like. Justify, create its own right and wrong duality, thinking activity. Then because of that, she can see how her mind stir and she like not happy, like felt being cheated and all those things. But as I explained, when you cultivate correctly with the appropriate wisdom, yoni soma nisikara, you will not behave this way anymore. Your Monday mind will not stir and do all this again. It will transform. Transform for the better means the moment you receive this, like my daughter explained that day, she applied the Noble Eightfold Path, avoid negativity and turn it around. But that is the intermediate stage of not having negativity. At least it is moving towards that base. But the real cultivation that allow you to transform is the wisdom. When the wisdom arises, that's why later on she contemplated, maybe past life I have cheated people, I have done all this. That's why this life, there is condition, it manifests. So this form of mind responsible for the coming effect. Then you are at peace. That's why you will laugh, you will smile. Condition like that, things will be done. That's why I always smile, I always laugh, because these are the things I did before. Like I used to share with you all in the past, my father, when he was actually around, he loved me and he liked me. He know I'm very good at study. So she don't know how to express it. So she always come and like think that I may need a drink before I go and sleep or rest. Because we all normally study until about 10 p.m. at night. Then we are there at the small town, the shop lot, or they close at 9. Then I will continue to study until about 10 o'clock. Then I will go to sleep. And she will make coffee for me. And my nature at that time, I was still young. I don't know. That's why I don't want to trouble my father. Then I used to sometimes without thankful understanding at that time, I would tell my dad, no, no need. I say, don't, please don't. And you know what happened? Later on, when I grew up, my son did the same thing to me. That's karma. That's when I saw this, I laughed. I told my wife, I said, this is what I will kena. I will get it. But this is what I did to my own father. Actually, I didn't scold him or get angry. No, it's just that I don't want to trouble him because I feel that he don't understand me. But it's like he doesn't know how to explain it. But he is sincerely out of love. And true love and what we call the parentally love, he just want to do something for me. But at that time, I was young. I don't know, I have my conditioning, my whatever. So my thinking was different. I said, no need. You know, for me, I am very like frank. I don't want means I don't want. Please, no need. Then especially after many times, I still continue to do, you know. Then later on, I came to know it's out of goodness. He wants to express all this. That's why he keep on asking me, do you need money? When I went to the university, I have this Kedah State scholarship or loan. I have more than enough money. And then I feel that if I don't use this money for this tertiary education, he may not be happy. That's why later on I say, okay, you pass me whatever you want to pass me. But I say, I don't need much. Actually, I have enough. That's why sometimes I still accept. So all this. And you can see it manifesting in the same life. That's why karma is like that. So when you have the wisdom, you will know the causes and conditions. Then you will understand Dhamma beautifully. Then you know. That's why you just laugh. You are at peace. That this is karma. You reap what you sow. So whatever I do, it will hit back. Then at certain stage, I remember when you are close to the awakening, the nature's law keep on coming to show it to you that karma is like that. You cannot violate. The moment you do anything, slightest negativity, the repercussion, the coming friction or response straight away come back. Hey, let me see. Like I used to share with you all. No. Nature's law is like that. That's why it keeps on manifesting. So all this cultivator will go through, but it depends on each and everyone's individual condition, coming past, cultivation and all those things. So for me, it let me see all this. That's why I can guide people, share with people, train people and all this thing. But not every cultivator has this understanding, this path to develop all this. Most of them didn't even get to understand the cultivation correctly because most of them are knowledge-based, thought-based type of cultivation. Awareness-based is very few and very little cultivator or very few cultivator has this ability to actually go beyond what we call the thought-based cultivation to develop the awareness-based meditation. Then not to say develop it, able to stabilize it and move on and understand all these teachings which are the higher teaching of the Bodhisattva way leading to the perfection of Sammasambuddha. All these are very rare teachings, very different type of teachings. So because of that, when I look back, when I reflect back, I can understand all this, I can see all this. That's why the phase you are going through, Brother Song is very good. You can have the benefit of what Pamasuri asked the last session. Then the answer that I gave class today on, it can actually complement all your understanding. As cultivator, you will know how to move. So, ability to apply the Dhamma to move, to develop the stability of understanding and wisdom is very important. That's, you only recently go through this phase. That's why it will come and pass you. Off and on, it will come and pass you. And you will have to develop the understanding until you pass the test. And to pass the test is not difficult. If you have listened carefully to what I share, through suchness, like just now what is being shared in the this Infinite Meaning Sutta, William Yi Jing, because this wondrous Dhamma is really very wondrous. And it is the true understanding of what Tatata is, the true suchness of things. Everything is just the way it is. Everything is such Tatata. Then when you have the stability of wisdom, you can accept everything as it is, your mind becomes different. Then it can echo and flow. It can just flow. It need not arise. It can be aware, finish. Aware, finish. Echo and flow. And everything is so pristine, so beautiful. You just relax into it, silent. Then everything just moves. Then you can see the true mind arising. Then whatever that is still the movement is part of the test or the cultivation. Or sometimes it is what we call the habitual tendency which still has its what they call movement, undercurrent. They call it the undercurrent. That's why it will be the more fine type of habitual tendency that can be slowly understood and rooted out. Rooted out to wisdom, nothing else, to understanding. Then how the Sanghara says is how much wisdom you develop. But as long as there is still avijja, Sankara will be there. Then later on, you will go through all this, then understand that to live life, you need to arise the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Then that phase is different again. That one you know how to arise and apply. And when you apply, it's Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right realization. That everything is like in line, synchronized. Yeah. So all this understanding, they will surface. Yeah. But the process is not easy, not immediate, unless your path is very stable. So this phase you are going through is very good. So based on what you describe, the Paramasuri experience, when you listen to it attentively, it will help you to break free. Then develop the further understanding. Then your cultivation can move on. Then slowly, slowly, all this will continue to stabilize, and its movement will unfold in very unique and beautiful way, where everyone is different. Okay, so?
Yeah, but 就刚才你讲那个什么 undercurrent 啊，对，那天晚上我的那个 experience 就是这个 undercurrent， 这个 judging 一直在那边，它还在那边，对，它还没有
completely rooted
out，对， then 后来因为很久了。 他一直在 check， 然后过后我就坐下来，我就去 meditate， 去 aware， 去看这个 movement。 然后 忽然间我有一个感觉来，我在 aware 那个 Monday mind， 好像我们两个是 separate entity 这样子。
因为 that one is the egoic mind. The egoic mind still has its own movement. But like I always tell you all, that is condition arising, causal phenomena, not you. That one is the false one, the five aggregate of form and mind. That one is a tool karmically conditioned now for you to use. So use it. Don't be deluded by it or deceived by it. Use means what? Like a tool. Means to arise the right thought, to condition the right speech, right action, and to live life, to fulfill your vows, to do all the things that you need to do. Yeah. So all this understanding become very distinct and very clear. Otherwise, a lot of people get entangled. They believe the thought. They continue to analyze. How can I be perfect? How can I root out all this? It's not about how. Always remember, nothing free except wisdom. So the ultimate wisdom is ability to accept things as they are. Through suchness, accept the reality of the moment. That is what is. Means do not go against nature. Nature is true suchness. Think it just the way it is. So this one need to be penetrated until very stable, until the Diamond Sutta, the four stanza, very clear. And then the transformation really develops. Then it will finally root out everything. And then you realize the undercurrent all gone, the stream of consciousness flow without resistance. Everything is just the way it is. So beautiful. Meant to be will be. Condition like that, things will be like that. Then everything like zigzag puzzle fall into place. No more problem. No more thinking. No more analysis. No more wanting to be right. Wanting to be perfect. All those things no more. Cease. But always remember, this is not a knowledge. This is an awakening, an understanding, born of the cultivation, stability of wisdom and understanding. So all these are the important pointer that you have to pay attention to and develop the understanding. Once you understand, use it to live life. Apply it. Don't go and keep it as knowledge and want to be that. Then you will be deceived by the thought again. The thought every time go and analyze on. Then want to know, am I there already? Is this the one? forget about it. This is still the egoic mind, the subtle egoic mind, mundane mind, that come through the back door. Wherever there is analysis, there is avijja. Always remember. Otherwise, how can sankhara arise? If you want to know, you want to analyze, you want to think. That's why one thing to know, one thing to experience, you create sankhara activity. And when the wisdom surfaces, you realize a lot of things no need to know. That's why Jay Krishnamurti, he is very wise. He always point towards the understanding part. When you understand, you do not create division. Means you look at the thought process, the mundane mind, how thought divide, create conflict and other things. So understand all this and break free so that it has got no power over you. Well, all these are sankhara, except he don't use dhamma term. But he teach you differently, day-to-day understanding. He said thought is limited. Then you have to go and find out yourself why thought is limited. How you create thought. How from the pure awareness. That's why he never teach all this. This one come from the Buddhist teaching. Come from mindfulness and awareness. But because he understand the true mind, the silent mind, that nature, that's why he able to penetrate all this. But he cannot share and teach because he don't have a systematic teaching. He don't have the Dhamma format like the Buddha. His one is based on what he observe and he understand, then he tell you. That's why he know the beginning of thought is the beginning of registration. Thought is respond to memory. He saw it coming out. And this one is not in the Buddhist teaching. But if you have mindfulness, you will understand what he's trying to tell you. Then the limitation of thought. How thought divide through words, through concept and all. So all this will show it to you clearly that all these so-called five aggregate of form and mind, which Krishnamurti never used, but the Buddha used, they are not real. They are impermanent. You attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And this one Krishnamurti never teach. But he tell you how you get yourself into trouble. Thought divide. When you divide through words, concept, call yourself a Buddhist or Christian or communist or whatever, or capitalist, you become violent. But the moment you divide, you create violence. You have right and wrong, agree, duality, disagree, or whatever. That's why he saw all this. Then he break free. So for us, we have the benefit of the Dhamma, that I'm able to link you back to the Dhamma and use the Dhamma to explain. And this one is what the Buddha called Panya, wisdom. And with this wisdom, it's very easy to actually break free. Not like Krishnamurti. Krishnamurti, you must reach that type of mind, the silent mind. That's why he was able to be in that state. He went through the transformation, where his cultivation was different. Then when he was in this state, he can see all this and understand all this. But the normal cultivator is the other way around. Terbalik. Their mind has not transformed. It's not like Hui Ning, born with that type of mind. That's why he come, he understand all this. That's why he can teach you no thought and all those things. But Krishnamurti don't have a structure, a format, the Dhamma to teach. That's why there is no sutra and all those things. He just share his understanding. And his understanding is based on what he can observe with the transformed mind. His benefit is his mind transformed. He able to do that because he had the understanding in the past he cultivated before. Then he can go into that stillness and the silence. That's why he say whatever that is thought based cannot free the mind. All your belief system, all no use. Method, technique, all no use. You're wasting time. And he actually described all these things in his own way, very beautifully, where he had the understanding, where his mind transformed, and he's in that state. But normal cultivator is opposite, the belly, your mind has not transformed. So what do you use? You use your thought to try to understand his word. You are dead. His teaching come from the transformed mind that understand. That's why my nature can understand what he say, and I can explain exactly and tie back to the Buddhist teaching. Normal people cannot. They thought it's very different teaching. They thought that one is not Buddhism. Actually, the Dhamma is about understanding truth, understanding the way things are, nature, suchness, and all those things. So all this similarity and understanding, unless you yourself have transformed, have realized those states, you cannot actually reconcile and bring about the understanding to share and to teach. So all this is very beautiful sharing for today, especially the condition that arise to what Song has reported and shared. So all this surface. So with this understanding, the Kayamita can actually evolve and progress further. And these are the Dhamma that is starting to evolve and emerge. So that later on, more and more of Kayamita who has the condition and the understanding, they will benefit from all this because these are recorded and these are in the website. And it can help many people, maybe people who join later, who have their own affinity and condition. They listen, they will awaken very fast if they have the affinity to understand all this. Okay, that's all. Sadhu to you.
Yeah, brother, because 这个 go through 的这个 experience 才 about 两天，所以我这两天都一直在 contemplate， 然后就想，哇，里面真的是多的很大嘛，在里面需要去understand 跟去 stabilize。Like 像刚才 brother 就你的 explanation， you bring another angle 去。
Yeah. That is the later phase. After you have gone through all this, then the later phase. What I share with you all is the later phase that can manifest after this. Otherwise, no point. Otherwise, it's too impossible for you all to understand and keep track of. That's why unless there is condition for this to be shared, it cannot surface. That's why everything is yin yan fa, yi qie yu wei fa. So when there is condition, things will arise, things will manifest. Then this is what Dhamma is. This is what existence is. So everything is condition arising, causal phenomenon. And when you understand this deeply, clearly, then you transform. You become very different. That's why that condition Dhamma is very important. Each year, you wait for. Everything is condition Dhamma. Dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, no reality. He know you, he know me. Then all this understanding become very transformative and very powerful in its own liberative way to liberate the mundane mind from its own ignorance. That's why the mundane mind will realize itself and cease. Because that delusion or ignorance that is conditioning the mundane mind to do all those things, they will finally cease. Then when it ceases, the mundane mind realize to think has got no meaning. You only use the thought, the mundane mind, to live life, to experience life. There is just a chemically conditioned form of mind. A tool and a vehicle for us to come to this existential world, to live life, to fulfill our vow, to do all those things. That's it. No reality, he know you, he know me, no mark of anything. That's why the Hui Ming's teaching all, they were matching. And they become very beautiful, including J. Krishnamurti's teaching. So all this understanding are possible, it can unfold and develop into very beautiful sharing and understanding. Okay, very good. So you can continue. 2 more minutes.
我最近就是因为没有的这个 chattering mind 比较多这个 silent mind 了以后 开始真的是 realize 了这个 Dharma 的 beautiful 还有这个 understanding 的 especially 每次听你的那些 Dharma talk 的 最近 那种 understanding 真的是很 profound 啊,
very profound
就是 like 它就是这样子啊 就是 this is a Dharma this is an understanding
yeah.
因为不像以前这样，会有很多那种啊 chattering mind 来很像啊那个语音这样子来 cloud。
因为那个 thinking mind want to analyze 嘛，要了解嘛，要去定嘛，要去 create more and more idea and concept 嘛，为什么这样？为什么这样？为什么不是这样？为什么还有这样？因为 before you have the full understanding, all these questions will surface。 But when the understanding arise and stabilize, then all this understanding will condition the new transformation to cause all this frivolous thinking, unnecessary analysis and thinking to stop. That's why the mundane mind, when it have understood itself, it will no longer go back to the foolish way to do the old conditioned thing. Because the foolish condition always is the heedless living. That's why it will transform and become heedful living. Then most of the time, it's just aware. It doesn't have to think. That's why the mind becomes different. Where it's heedful anywhere, it see, it understand, it hear, it understand. Then it can accept everything the way it is. More and more, it is more. Unless you want to live life, you want to arise, you want to help people, you want to communicate, explain and share, then you manifest. Apart from that, most of the time it's just quiet, silent, still. When it needs to manifest, only it manifests. So that is the ultimate phase. Yeah. That's why that is living from your nature. From your true awareness nature, you come out and live life. Not to say it's a human being that come out. That nature come out and live life means heedful living. Means it's always awake. All the time. Yeah. But when it need to use the mundane mind to arise, the communication, the expression, the explanation, it will do. To do its duty, all those things. Then that mundane mind will arise. That's why the Buddhist teaching, the Noble Eightfold Path is very beautiful. From the right view, which is wisdom, understanding, you can arise the right thought. And arising the right thought and spirit action is a cultivation by itself. Very deep, very profound. Take a long time too. The four right effort, everything. That's a Noble Eightfold Path is a major cultivation. And that one, unending, life itself. And you will continuously evolve. And you will develop more and more understanding. So what you experience and go through is very good. Now you can understand better. You can actually experience the more deep, profound understanding of all this Dhamma that has been shared earlier on. And you will less all this old behavior of Sankara arising doubt, thought and analysis or all this slowly is like becoming less and less. Then finally, it fades away. Then the mind will move on and transform. It can only happen when the mundane mind collapses. Unless the mundane mind collapses, the phase of transformation will be more gradual, take more time. But once the mundane mind collapses, your understanding moves very fast. Because suddenly, like Hui Ning, without the mundane mind, he is already with his true mind. That's why he can see things as they are. Like when my mundane mind collapsed, the nature, that reality shine forth. But then my nature, that awareness nature, is all the time there. And that's why it cannot go back to the old way. It cannot revert back to the old way. It cannot. It transforms already. So all this will be the new understanding that you all will develop and evolve. And from there, your cultivation become different. So very good, huh? Very strong. Anything else? 还有什么?
没有了，那就这样。谢谢，very profound，yeah，very profound，对，so
let us rejoice with a good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
我觉得我最大的因为我之前每天早上在念这个 Bodhisattva Vow 的时候，我会 realize 一面念的时候，我的 chatting mind 就在后面，很像 background music 这样子。但是我最近就没有了。这个是我的一个最大的 achievement。不然以前我每次在做这个啊，Puja的时候，在做 religious routine 的时候，那个你在做的时候，同时那个 mundane mind 它也在那边 juggling。
Initially is there, it's always there. Then you are sensitive because you are more mindful. Then you know that one is still moving, and that one like you cannot stop one. That's why. As you cultivate, you will come to know without the wisdom, the stability of understanding, that one cannot be rooted out. Only wisdom free, nothing else. That's why the Dhamma need to be contemplated until very, very clear, until the wisdom is very stable. Without that, the habitual tendency, the undercurrent, all, it will be very strong. And it will continue to come back to the back door to haunt people. That's why the mundane mind part, that cultivation, take a while. And you go back to the Avijja Sutta. Everything is there, actually. The steps are there. So Avijja Sutta, the step four, Yoniso Manasikara, that one needs a lot of stability, contemplation, awakening, the tree turning. Then after that, you will stabilize your Sati Sampajana. The step five. Once step four and five stabilize, then your cultivation become different, smooth sailing. Once you hit step four and five, break free, then your sankara will be less. Most of the time you are away. That's why the three way of right conduct become possible. Sense restraint, then the three way of right conduct become possible. Without the stability of sati sambhajana, sense restraint is impossible. Without step four, also the initial wisdom, sense restraint is impossible. That's why the step six, sense restraint, is very important. You need step four and five to stabilize it, to allow you to have the ability to have sense restraint. That mindfulness, the wisdom, the understanding, the universal manasikara keep on arising. Then after that, the three way of right conduct become possible. Because you can restrain yourself from the three type of negative conduct, then only you can develop the three type of right conduct. Because the negative conduct needs sense restraint. You need to restrain your mundane mind from creating that mental thinking, the mental intention, the mental activity to stir your mind to react. So sense restraint is the beginning of the silent mind, stability of the silent mind, stability of yoniso manasikara, means wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So all this will lead to sati sampajana. Without that wisdom at the moment of sense experience from step four, your sati sampajana cannot stabilize. The daily mindfulness with clear comprehension. That clear comprehension will prevent you from deviating and all those things. So they are all connected and linked. Then only sense restraint come in. Before that, sense restraint cannot come in. Without the mindfulness and the initial wisdom, the stability of contemplation and understanding, this mind will stir and react and create all this thinking. That's why sense restraint is the part where most of the time you don't react anymore. You don't create thinking, duality, or this thing anymore. Then after that, the three way of right conduct become very natural. Mm-hmm. Very good. So you can continue, huh?
然后还有另外一个我觉得更 surprised 的就是我不是有一个同事那个 single mother 以前我一直很对他很多那种 negative thought 一直去 label 他 but 我最近没有了
then, very good 那我
我 can accept 他也是一样没有做工 like 每天忘记这个忘记那个 but 我也不
Sadhu, that is a very good understanding. You can do that. You are beautiful. This is what I earlier on shared with Kayamita too. I said initially when I start to come out and share, because that time I was still new. A lot of things haven't stabilized. Then my Monday mind haven't really collapsed at that time. Because it's a process that I have to go through. Then I realize when I try to explain something and share something, but people cannot understand, then they like wants to present their own argument and all things. But my nature, I know, is not having problem with all this. But there is this, what they call Sankara movement inside there, which after the class come back, I remember during the initial first few months, I remember, that activity of Sankara will still be there. But mine is a different one. Mine, it let me contemplate and reflect. How can I let him understand? Then later on, I came to realize, without condition, no point. He can't understand. Yeah, he is the way he is. So initially, I didn't know about all this. So that's why when I came back, the Sankara movement was still there, still there. Then I tried to reflect and contemplate. How can I help that person? I don't have doubt. All those things is not with me. But I try to do something. That's why that trying is still by the mundane mind. It's not wisdom. Then later on, I realized, after a few times, cannot. No condition means no condition. He cannot understand means he cannot understand. Then only I realized I was too far ahead of time. My teaching, people cannot understand it. I was ahead of time. At that time, what they learn is all knowledge, thought-based type of Dhamma. That's why it's impossible for them to have the understanding. I just want to explain general knowledge thing. Where before we start the Dhamma, we were dealing with tsunami and all those things, I remember, the year 2004 and all those things. So I tried to use the Dhamma to explain how tsunami come about and how people entangle with karma will get into trouble. Those that have good karma not supposed to die or not die. But they cannot understand. Then the three turning of the Four Noble Truths also they cannot understand. Then I realized it's not the Dhamma that they need. That's why I reversed my teaching after that. For the first 1 year, I tried to share so much of the five LVA, the Noble Eightfold Path, the teaching and all those things. But later on I realized, cannot. This is not what they need. They can't even understand basic essential Dhamma and teaching. That's why I revert back to the essential Dhamma. I revert back to the five mental hindrances, the five spiritual faculties, the three evil roots, and the Four Noble Truths. I emphasize on Four Noble Truths. I keep on repeating it. Then the three turning, slowly, slowly I go in. Then in the retreat, I have to slowly bring about understanding because I got nothing to fall back to. So I have to use something. Then when I quote Krishnamurti, it's not because I want to quote, because I can use his teaching to explain the Buddha's teaching. Then this Buddha's teaching, whenever I say according to the Buddha, or people respect, I realize, you say according to Krishnamurti, nobody look at you. They want to learn meditation, they also what you teach, vipassana, or anapanasati. Anapanasati, they want to walk away, but they believe this is not mindfulness, vipassana. Because inside meditation, they call vipassana. Samatha, they say anapanasati is samatha. Whatever the Buddha do, which is anapanasati, his thought becomes samatha. The Buddha never do rising, falling, become vipassana. The Buddhist community becomes like that. The teaching becomes like that. That's why when I saw all this, I just smile. I tell them, whatever method and technique you use, not important. Because this is not the meditation. These are series or instruction to do things. And methods and technique never define the meditation. The real meditation is mindfulness leading to cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. The whole embodiment of the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. So all this understanding later on only slowly evolve and start to become what it is today. So what you mentioned just now is very true. The ability to become different now. What your staff, that lady or what, it doesn't affect you anymore. That is very good. Because later on, after I understood all this, later on after I share for a while, I also realized no need to think. Think also, that no, don't think also. Then I just let things be. Yeah? My duty is I share. If there's condition to share, I share. After that, nothing to do with me. Whether you agree, you don't agree, you follow, you don't follow, nothing to do with me, because your line, you decide what you want. It's not about the individual anymore. After all, there is no mark of a self, of others, of Dhamma and all those things. But that one, people cannot understand. So when you come to the conditioned world, it's up to the individual, because your line. You decide how you want to live your life. And this is still within the conditioned world, the Dhamma world, the law of karma, everything. And all this is already difficult enough for the sentient being to understand. You haven't even gone into the teaching. In fact, the essential Dhamma, the basic teaching of the law of karma, coming of Sashel, all these things also they haven't understood. So the basic essential Dhamma also not there. How to teach? Cannot. That's why I let things be. Then got condition, share, no condition, just let things be. Then after that, surprisingly, there are some who know that this teaching is very different. Oh, very different. That's why they keep on coming. Then that's how I continue to share. Then the first batch, something happened, meant to be. That's why after that 2008 Maitreya came, 4 years, 2004 to 2008. And when Maitreya came, I supposed to move. So the first batch that was with me and my last teacher, they somehow create the condition to break away. And not everyone, one group of them left. Then they have their own way and thinking. That's why they end up doing their own things, which is totally different. Yeah. My last guy actually showed me the gateway, but he never teach me any Dhamma. Dhamma I already have. He is consciousness field. So all this, people cannot understand. That's why it happened. And when it happened, then I mean, I realized it's meant to be. Yeah. My first message is for me to move on to the other side, where the Thursday class, all those things start. The clang people, or this group came. That's why all the kayamita that arise now is the result of the movement in 2008 when I was asked to share this teaching. 请你把正法传下去。Okay, I think we have enough, huh? Very late already. So, salute to you again, huh? The song, we better end, huh?